Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19. The appearance of Shukadeva Goswami. Text 21. Sarve
Sarve
Vaya
Tava
Ihasmahe
Ihasmahe
Kamevara
Yava
Asa
Vihaya
Loka
Hara
Virajaskam
Vishokam
Yasyati
Ayam
Bhagavata
Bhagavata
Pradhana
Pradhana
Sarve Vayam Tava Dihasmaheta
Sarve Vayam Tava Dihasmaheta
Kalevaram Yavadaso Vihaya
Kalevaram Yavadaso Vihaya
Lokam Param Virajaskam Vishoka
Lokam Param Virajaskam Vishokam
Yas yat yayam bhagavata pradana.
Yas yat yayam bhagavata pradana.
Sarve.
Sarve.
All.
All.
Vaya.
Vayam.
Of us.
Tavat.
As long as.
As long as.
Iha. At this place.
At this place.
Asmahe.
Asmahe.
Shall stay.
Shall stay.
Atta.
Atta.
Hereafter.
Hereafter.
Kalevaram.
Kalevaram.
The body.
Body.
Yavat,
Yavat,
so long,
so long.
Asa, the king, Vihaya,
Vihaya,
giving up,
giving up.
Loka,
Loka,
the planet,
the planet.
Param,
Param,
the supreme,
the supreme.
Virajaskam,
Virajaskam,
completely free from mundane contamination.
Completely free from mundane contamination.
Vishokam,
Vishokam,
completely freed from all kinds of lamentation.
Completely free from all kinds of lamentation.
Yasyati,
Yasyati,
returns.
Returns.
Ayam,
this,
this.
Bhagavata,
devotee,
devotee.
Pradhana,
Pradhana,
the foremost.
The foremost.
Translation. We shall all wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit, returns to the supreme planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination and all kinds of lamentation. Can you hear me okay at the back there? Yeah? Okay, good. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Beyond the limitation of the material creation, which is compared to the cloud in the sky, there is the Paravyoma, or the spiritual sky, full of planets called Vaikunthas. Such Vaikuntha planets are also differently known as the Purushottama Loka, Achyuta Loka, Trivikram Loka, Rishikesha Loka, Keshava Loka, Aniruddha Loka, Madhava Loka, Pradyumna Loka, Sankarsana Loka, Sridhara Loka, Vasudeva Loka, Ayodhya Loka, Dwaraka Loka, and many other millions of spiritual lokas wherein the personality of Godhead predominates. All the living entities there are liberated souls with spiritual bodies as good as that of the Lord. There is no material contamination. Everything there is spiritual, and therefore there is nothing objectively lamentable. They are full of transcendental bliss and are without birth, death, old age, and disease. And amongst all the above-mentioned Vaikuntha lokas, there is one supreme loka called Goloka Vrindavan, which is the abode of the Lord Sri Krishna and his specific associates. Maharaj Parikshit was destined to achieve this particular loka, and the great rishis assembled there could foresee this. All of them consulted among themselves about the great departure of the great king, and they wanted to see him up to the last moment, because they would no more be able to see such a great devotee of the Lord. When a great devotee of the Lord passes away, there is nothing to be lamented, because the devotee is destined to enter into the kingdom of God. But the sorry plight is that such great devotees leave our sight, and therefore there is every reason to be sorry. As the Lord is rarely to be seen by our present eyes, so also are the great devotees. The great rishis, therefore, correctly decided to remain on the spot till the last moment. Sarve vayam tavadi hasmaheta kalevaram yavadaso vihaya lokamparam vira jaskam vishokam yas yat yayam bhagavata pradana. We shall all wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit, returns to the supreme planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination and all kinds of lamentation. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastutya Deshatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapata Rubhyascha Agripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Yes, so the assembled great sages and other great personalities, even demigods, and just the greatest amongst the saintly people in the whole universe, they are continuing here to speak glorification of Maharaj Parikshit. They're going to wait here right on the spot until he actually passes away. And this is not just some type of, you might say, morbid curiosity that someone is going to die. They want to see the person die. I'm sure on many occasions even, every one of you sitting here has been in a motor car driving on the highway, and you have passed an accident, and all the cars slow down. Really slow down, and all the traffic may become backed up and blocked up because the people are slowing down, even if the accident's on the other side of the highway and there's no obstruction to you, but they all slow down greatly to a crawl, and they all steer to see. It must be some type of morbid curiosity. Will we see a dead body or something very drastic? And yes, so the conditioned souls have all different types of attraction. Some greater than others, and yeah, it's very variegated. But this type of attraction, this is a type of attraction which they have, like if someone is up on a high building and they say they're going to jump and commit suicide, many people gather, and some of those people encourage the person. Go on, jump. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's just a very bizarre type of consciousness. And they're not saying that because they're thinking that, well, you're a spirit soul, so, you know, it doesn't really matter. And if you're not doing well in this body, get another one, maybe you'll do better. Yeah, it's a very morbid consciousness. It's not nice. It's a very low, and you know, you could say envious and just very unpleasant type of consciousness. But all these great sages and other assembled transcendental personalities here, they want to stay until Maharaj Parikshit actually passes away. Their idea is completely different. And Srila Prabhupada explains very clearly that they all know that this person, Maharaj Parikshit, he is just a very rare soul, such an exalted, pure devotee of the Lord. As Srila Prabhupada said in the purport yesterday, the Pandava kings were more than many saints of the world. They may have been kings, kshatriyas, not Brahmins, not big scholars, renunciates, and not people like that. But their attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, was just so great. And completely just not influenced by the external trappings of their situations in terms of their worldly duties according to Varnashram. They were just simply on the transcendental platform with complete attachment to Lord Sri Krishna. And we've seen that a few verses ago. It was that Maharaj Parikshit said in verse 16, five verses ago, that I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I'll have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. So he is, it's not just a sentiment that he's expressing, but he is just completely fixed in this type of consciousness and fully aware, fully conscious of the value of being in such situations with those three particular conditions. Complete attachment to Lord Krishna and absolutely no attachment to anything else, at least anything on the material level. Association with the devotees and very means deep relationships with the devotees and friendly relations with all living beings. So they know, all these sages, demigods and other assembled personalities here on the bank of the Ganges or the Yamuna, they know that Maharaj Parikshit is such a transcendental personality. He's not just one of the devotees who's sort of, you know, somewhere there. Of course, any devotee is very, very special, but some are more special than others. And Maharaj Parikshit is one of those who is one of the most special. He's actually referred to here, the last two words of the verse, Bhagavata Pradana, which is translated, of course, very properly as the foremost devotee of the Lord. If you've read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you've been through the 11th canto, what is it now? Is it chapter 2? Anyway, in the 11th canto, there is the fairly elaborate and fairly detailed description of the three levels of devotees. First of all, Kanishta Adhikari, their lowest grade, beginning grade, even can be seen as being somewhat materialistic devotee. At least in many cases it may be like that. And then second is the Madhyam Adhikari, which of course literally means, well, Madhyam Adhikari literally means middle qualification, medium qualification. This term Adhikari, Adhikar, means qualification, or person who has some particular type of qualification. So the Kanishta Adhikari, the beginning class of devotee, and the Madhyama Adhikari, the middle class, second class, they are described in one verse each there. One verse each, with fairly extensive purports, but just one verse each. But then the Uttama Adhikari, the first class devotee of the Lord, is described. Uttama indicates Uttama. Uttama, beyond tamagun. In other words, actually transcendental, because in material life, even if you are predominantly or significantly, substantially in the mode of ignorance, goodness, even if you are particularly in that mode and very peaceful and clear-headed and not into gross things and just sense gratification, even if you're sattvic to a large degree, but still, if you're not Krishna conscious, you're in tamaguna also, because that is the fundamental tama, ignorance, is to be ignorant of Krishna. And we come to this world because of that, some enviousness of Krishna, some desire to get away from him, to enjoy independently, some sort of idea of that sort, which is all part of tamagun. Just the idea that I can live, and it would be a good idea to live independently from Krishna, and I don't need Krishna, and just goodbye Krishna. This is tamagun. Therefore, sometimes it's said that of the three modes, tamagun is the strongest. Sometimes it's said like that, because it specifically, in its most refined and specific sense, it means forgetful of Krishna, ignorant of Krishna, not aware of Krishna, like this. Yeah, this is that is the foundation of material existence, and that's the foundation of tamagun. So yeah. So Maharaj Parikshit then. Well, okay, so the Kanishtadhikari, Majjhimadhikari, they each have one, they're very definitive verses about each one, really making it very clear what are the main characteristics of Kanishtadhikari, Majjhimadhikari. But then there's a series of verses, 5, 6, 7, I forget exactly, but it's a number of verses, and some of them have very extensive purports about the Uttama Adhikaris, because the Uttama Adhikaris are the most important. They're the most advanced, obviously, but they're the most significant, and they're the most important for the world. Because if you can get the association of an Uttama Adhikari, then that association is just so powerful that even in some cases, even if the Uttama Adhikari does not even say anything, but just by being in their presence, even for a very, even just momentarily, one will be greatly benefited. Therefore, there's the famous verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. That the association of devotees is so valuable that all the scriptures, Sarva Shastre, all the scriptures say Lava Matra means, like, even a split second association with a real sadhu, Sarva Siddhi Hoi, can be, that can be sufficient impetus for then one to go on to perfection. So therefore, and particularly in that verse, Sadhu Sangha verse, when it is being said that just Lava Matra, split seconds association with a sadhu, is or may be enough to bring one to that point, it's very much talking about the Uttama Adhikaris. And the Kanishta Adhikaris, a split seconds association surely would be beneficial, but maybe not that much. and the Madhyamadikari would be very valuable, actually, but still not the same as the association of a great, exalted, pure devotee of the Lord Uttama Adhikari, or sometimes the term Mahabhagavat is used. So yes, if you look there, you'll see there's this whole sequence of verses pointing out all different qualities and characteristics of the Uttama Adhikaris and just how amazing and wonderful they are. An interesting point is that in those verses, the term which is used, the Sanskrit term, which is used, if not in all of them, at least in some, for the Uttama Adhikari is Bhagavata Pradana. The same term used here. So in other words, these assembled sages, devotees, demigods, and so on, they understand Maharaj Parikshit to be in the very, very topmost class, like the best of the best, something like that. Just practically unsurpassable level of devotee. Really, just practically unique. Amongst devotees, what to speak of amongst the people in general. So therefore, they understanding, well, there are a couple of different factors, but here Prabhupada's particularly emphasizing the point that they understood the value of the association of Maharaj Parikshit, therefore they call him Bhagavata Pradana, and they know he's going to leave, and they know just how valuable is his association, and they just want to make sure they get every second of his association, yeah, every second, until it's gone. Sometimes, like we found with Srila Prabhupada, we found with other devotees too, but, you know, to a far greater extent with Srila Prabhupada, that when Srila Prabhupada left this world, many devotees felt that we should have, so to speak, taken advantage of his association more. Taken advantage in a nice sense. We should have really sort of milked Srila Prabhupada for more nectar. You know, in the Gita Mahatmya, in Padma Purana, it said that, what is it? I think Bhagavad Gita is like a cow, Krishna is like the milkman, and Arjuna is like the calf. Something like that, drinking the milk by the mercy of the milkman. So it's something like that, yeah. So in the case of Srila Prabhupada, when he left this world, so many devotees were just, because we never experienced anything like it at all before, just not at all. These great devotees and sages and demigods, they've been around more, and they know when a great soul is about to pass away, you got to try and get as much mercy as possible, and even like clarify doubts as much as possible, ask questions and just rack your brain. What transcendental nectar can we get from this person? You know, like special nectar. So many devotees felt like that when Srila Prabhupada left this world. Like, for example, that there are certain very specific and extremely important questions which it would have been good if we just asked and just really sort of followed through on till we got complete clarification from Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, so these great sages, they're here, they're there, here, in this situation because they know that this is the last chance to get some instruction, get some mercy from this Bhagavata Pradhana, this foremost devotee, arguably the greatest devotee in the universe at that time. Yeah. Greater than practically anyone that you could think of. And Prabhupada goes on to say that they were not in a mood of lamentation. I'm sure we've all, or so many of us, have had that type of experience when some close family member is in the process of passing away and other family members, like particularly the closest ones who are not devotees, they become bewildered by the impending death, obvious impending death, and they just don't know what to do, so all they can do is cry and lament and just lose control. This is a sign. This is generally taken to be the sign of a sudra. The different varnas have different characteristics, and yeah, different varnas actually have a number of characteristics. There may be some very foundational characteristics, the main ones, but usually there's quite a number. And sudras, they have a number of characteristics. The basic characteristic is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. It's basically just a readiness, a willingness to serve masters. Yeah, that's all. That's the basic characteristic. Just ready to work hard for a master. But sudras have other characteristics, and another of the characteristics of a sudra is easily lament and become emotional and get all carried away when there's some sort of challenging situation, or particularly a situation of this type where someone who you've been very attached to and who's played an important part in your life emotionally and in whatever other ways, when they're about to depart. So, lamentation becomes the order of the day. But here Srila Prabhupada makes the point that for these great personalities here, they were not in the mood of lamentation at all. But rather, they were feeling that that when a great devotee of the Lord passes away, there's nothing to be lamented for because the devotee is going back to Godhead. Of course, for us, we lose the association of that great personality who may have helped us in many ways. So in that sense, we may lament. But even then, as what does Bhaktivinoda Thakura say, that he reasons ill who Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnava dies to live, and while living tries to spread the holy names around. So while the devotee is living, the devotee is preaching and giving people Krishna consciousness, just giving, giving, giving. And after the devotee leaves this world and goes back to Godhead, then Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, thou art living still in sound. So great personalities like this, like these, they also know that when Maharaj Parikshit does depart, we can remember his instructions and so on like this. And in this way, we'll still be in his presence and we'll still get the same benefit as in his physical presence. So, it doesn't make so much difference. As we know, I don't think Prabhupada says here, elsewhere Srila Prabhupada makes the point that the devotees don't die. The appearance and disappearance of the devotees, like the Lord, is like the rising and setting of the sun. And it's just a question of whether they're in our vision or out of our vision. That's the only point. And even when they're out of our vision, through their instructions, remembering them, their activities, their pastimes, their example, and so on, one can be in their presence. But still, when the physical presence is there, make the most of it. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada makes the point in Chaitanya Charitamrita, even though Vapu and Vani, you know, Vani ultimately can be seen to be more important in the long term, or any time really, but at least while the Vapu is still there, one should make the most of the presence of the Vapu, the physical form, by rendering personal service, and really make the most to connect nicely with the spiritual master or any very advanced devotee, really. Try and make the most of having that personal association. So, these great sages and personalities are thinking like that, and they know Maharaj Parikshit, it's not a question, will he go back to Godhead? Let's, you know, when it seems he's actually going to pass away, let's chant very loud and try and make sure he goes back to Godhead. You know, it's all, he's already, in a sense, he's already back to Godhead because he's in just absolutely pure Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So they want to get his association. And when he goes, they'll remember his association, his activities, his character, his instructions, and in that way they'll keep in his company. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, is there any description of Maharaj Parikshit's Swarup Nishpush or Vadidash?
No, not that I'm aware of. It's quite possible he may be Maharaj Parikshit.
Again?
It's quite possible. This may be his eternal role, like Arjuna. Who's he in the spiritual world? He's Arjuna. Yeah. Who's Rupa Goswami? He's Rupa Goswami. Jai Sachinandan Prabhu, some words of wisdom.
Wisdom is not a question, more comment. When you,
yeah, please.
Earlier you mentioned about the quote about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sadhu Sannyasa. So, like, Srila Prabhupada, prior to meeting Bhaktisiddhanta, he was very much an Indian nationalist, Gandhian follower.
Yeah, very much. So they say.
Yeah. And in that brief moment you met Bhaktisiddhanta, and all that was dispelled just by that love of mantra.
Good point. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. Very mental.
Of course, it wasn't exactly that Srila Prabhupada was just an Indian nationalist like some who are really just Indian nationalists. But he was brought up by his father, who was, Prabhupada said, a pure devotee. He was brought up to be a devotee. But yeah, Prabhupada says he got into that. He got into that Gandhi perspective on things. Yeah, but when he met, Prabhupada said when he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, it was just like, oh, very amazing experience. Completely life-changing, transformational, huge transformational experience. Thank you. Swarup Damodar Prabhu.
I was just thinking, his sages, Maharaj Parikshit holds them in the highest of esteem.
Right.
He worships them.
Yes.
But they are also just so broad-minded in their understanding of a great devotee that they're not seeing him as junior to them. They're actually, they're worshipping him.
Sure.
And it's such a wonderful broad-minded look of that, of you know, a spiritual society.
Right.
That, okay, he's like technically a householder, they are renunciates, but still they have such deep appreciation for him beyond the social norms that are there.
Sure.
It's very nice.
That's very nice. That's Krishna consciousness. It's an important part of real Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
Like sometimes in our society we don't see that. We see just the external ashrams, and we assign. I mean, it's generally the case, one could say. You know, just when
in many cases,
it helps us identify. But sometimes, we may lose the chance to have the association of a very great soul because of our external look of the situation. You know?
Well, like Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was an extreme renunciate, just, you know, in another dimension of renunciation. But he relished the association of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was at that time a householder. He would go there regularly, so often that he had a little spot there, like a little room they kept for him. Yeah, nice. And any of the senior Mataji's, Mother Sukumari?
I'd like to ask a question now. You were speaking about the devotees passing away and how generally populous of people react. So us as aspiring Vaishnavas and our seniors who will help us in our spiritual are no longer around, should we just be like,
good point. Well, you know, the Vapu does matter. It's not like we mentioned what Prabhupada said, you know, he definitely said that while the Vapu is there, you know, really sort of make the most of it and don't just think, well, you know, if the spiritual master or some special devotee is present here, that, you know, it doesn't really matter because, or if he or she is there somewhere else, doesn't matter because we've got the Vani, and the Vani, you know, we're Vani people. We're not Vapu people. But we are Vapu people. We're definitely Vapu people. And you know, in a sense, there can, if you know how to work with the Vapu and the Vani, the Vani coming from the Vapu can be, you know, richer and sweeter, can be, than just, you know, just reading it in the book. Not necessarily all the time, but it can be, you know, like questioning, discussing with such a personality, and really, then you're able to ask questions. You know, you can't ask Srimad Bhagavatam a question. Of course, you can find the answers to practically every question. But, you know, the nuances and subtleties which can be there in personal discussion. In other words, it is Vani, but it's in the context of Vapu that it is significant. And when you lose that, you've definitely lost something which you'll definitely feel the loss of. Not that, you know, at such a time when you've lost the Vapu and now you've only got the Vani, not that you will not be able to feel sort of sufficiently satisfied to carry on enthusiastically. No, if you really sort of tune into the Vani, you'll be able to carry on enthusiastically, but you'll still feel the loss of the Vapu. Yeah. But, you know, to get into the, you know, the loss of the Vapu, like in a material situation, someone dies, and now we've lost the Vapu, so to speak. Then I've heard a few people say, who've lost their, you know, some close relative, they say they're trying to forget. We don't want to try to forget at all. We want to remember, you know, those sacred times of the personal association. We want to remember. But for them, the solace, because those people give no instructions and no deeper help really in life. So they, in some cases, they think, I want to forget, that'll be my solace, that I can forget the person and just live like they never existed. That's not nice. And, you know, the devotee, particularly with the very special devotees, very advanced devotees, like Prabhupada mentions here, and the verse mentions, actually, Param Loka, they all knew he's going to Goloka Vrindavan. That's where he's going. So we can, when we remember the transcendental personality who's departed, then we can also take solace and encouragement that the person's gone to Goloka. What an achievement. How wonderful. I'm going to have to go there myself to get his association again. So let me really work on my Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Any other comments, questions, points from anyone? Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.